Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, in the early 1970s, the Canadian government undertook Project Marijuana, a social experiment to discover the effects of the drug on both women and productivity. But how, in this unusual enterprise, how is it seen 50 years later? A new film explores its history. Joining me is Craig Price, the writer and director of The Marijuana Conspiracy. Craig, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for joining me. So tell me, what was going on in Canada? What was it they wanted to do?
Well, it started in 1972. Back then, if you had a single joint in your possession, you would get 7 years in jail. It was like a class one narcotic. And there was two political thoughts at the time. There was the federal government, which was the Liberals, which was Pierre Trudeau, Justin's father, ironically. And they decided to do studies to see if marijuana was as serious as everybody thought it was, because there was all kinds of preconceived ideas and stereotypes about it. So they did a commission called the Ladain Report. And with that, they did certain studies and field studies on the effects of marijuana and how it affected society, etc. In the meantime, the provincial government, which was a conservative government, they were dead set against this and didn't trust the Liberals. And so they decided to do their own studies. So they came up with all kinds of funding and situations. And this film focuses on one of those such studies. It's the effects of marijuana on young women. It's the first time it ever been done. There was all kinds of crazy stereotypes that, you know, when women smoke weed, they become very promiscuous and do all kinds of radical things. And they thought it was a terrible drug. So they decided to prove it through experiments, but they didn't really tell people what the whole agenda was. So it's a really interesting story. We follow these five young women. They're from the project. They only did 20. They did 10 control group to see them using the weed, and 10 who did not use the weed to see about productivity. And also they study their bodies and physiological things. So it starts sort of as the backstory about the human experimenting itself. But it gets much more interesting as the experiment goes along because of what the government sort of was skewing and how the results might have turned out for them.
Right. So when they get them in, I presume what they're hoping to see is that productivity goes downhill. These people fall apart. What was the initial kind of, how did it start to go initially?
Well, it started out, first of all, just to let you know that I did meet a fair bit of the real women. So I had a lot of insight when writing the script.
Great.
The people who actually went through this experiment, and it started with a lot of research prior to that. And essentially, they felt very much like this was great. You get to smoke weed and it's legal here and you get to get paid. So it actually started out as a lot of fun. They had parties. You could buy, even though they're trying to look at the physiological effects, you could go to the tuck shop and buy mild marijuanas and alcohol. And so it was quite a party. They turned the whole place into a hippie den and they thought they had a good thing going. It was a 98-day experiment. And so that's how it started. But also what they were finding is that... not what they expected. The girls who were smoking the weed were not only as productive, some even more productive, because they had tasks to do like weaving macrame belts and things, and they got paid for it. And the more you made, the more successful you would be. And they assumed that on the smoking side, they get lethargic and all the stereotypes of weed, and they wouldn't be as productive. And then they had to spend money, what they earned, everything was paid for, a shower and this and that. But what they started to find out was there wasn't a difference. In fact, the girls who were smoking the weed were more productive. At this point, the government's...
Not the results they want.
Yeah, exactly. And so it deals with some changes that wasn't really agreed upon, but they decided to, and let me say this, it was not an easy task in the sense, it's not like a typical recreational marijuana use. They had to go to every day at 8 o'clock and sit in the cafeteria and smoke two giant joints alone. Like they couldn't pass it around. They were 15 minutes apart. So even that, it wasn't sort of like a normal recreational study, but then they decided to amp up the THC and it got stronger and stronger as the experiment went on. And that was sort of a way in the government's mind, it was the Addiction Research Foundation, to sort of skew the results that they were hoping to get. And so that was sort of the setup for the movie, but it's also dealing with the politics of the time and the mores of the time. It's a really fascinating time in Canada and in our laws and histories. But the whole, that's a great backdrop. But it's really about, like I say, I met some of the real women, and it's about their journey and their lives and why they went there and how they experienced it together. And they didn't know each other, but they formed this beautiful sort of unlikely sistership. And they sort of got through this, you know, tried to get through this together and help each other. And it's, you know, it has some lovely humor because they, like I say, it started with a lot of fun for them and has some drama and even elements of horror. It's a really interesting story. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but it deals with sort of how they dealt with the government. And also one of the big things they dealt with, which we can all relate to now, is social isolation. They could go nowhere. They couldn't even go for a walk. They were in a small institutional environment, and it was just the 10 of them on each side. They couldn't talk to each other. So it became very difficult on them mentally. But again, some of them, through all of that, kept making those belts and making money. So it's an interesting thing about that.
They wouldn't have known, would they, as the government was upping the amount of the THC, that's the part of the marijuana that actually affects you, isn't it? As they were upping that, they wouldn't have known. So they would go in on a normal day and expect to feel this after smoking, and then suddenly would start to feel different things, which I presume would make them paranoid. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but but it would, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, they knew what was going on. They could just sense it. Like, they just went, whoa. I mean, like I say, at first it was fun. And Doreen, who she's actually talked about the film a bit, and she's seen it and quite liked it, which I was very proud of. It just became a task, and then it did affect him. You know, and again, it's not an anti-marijuana film or a pro-marijuana film. It's about what the government can do to people. It's like the kind of human experiment that was even allowed at that time. And it started to become cruel because they had to like smoke it right to the very end, these two things really strong. And it started to affect them because, you know, obviously, you know, their lungs got heavy and they started to get a bit of a peripheral vision issues. And they, you know, it just became a real task, a really hard thing. And it was hard to get up the next day, which is partly what they were hoping for. But, you know, there was one particular lady I talked to. She just kept setting her alarm earlier and earlier and earlier. And, you know, so it's really interesting how, despite these handicaps and things, but then there was more, and that's why it's called conspiracy. There was even more to it than that. They couldn't really have any of them leave because there was only 10 and 10, which is kind of pseudoscience now when you look at control groups and how many people you really use for an experiment. But they were told, if you leave, you might get half of the money because, you know, we're going to just keep it because you didn't fulfill your obligation. And then they started to bring in incentives too, because they knew that some of the ladies were becoming unglued, and they sort of said, okay, well, we'll give you a bonus. And back then, $250 was a lot. That's Canadian.
A lot of money. Yeah.
So anyway, so they were basically given incentives to tough it out. And, so, you know, and it became, you know, a really interesting journey. And there's all kinds of, like I say, great interpersonal relationships, and there's a romance, and there's, you know, it's about the human condition and about what people do when they're put in situations.
In a very strange situation. And the money, it really was a significant sum to the point where those who finished it, it was kind of almost a life-changing amount of money. They were able to do college courses and stuff afterwards.
Yes, some of them, it's funny, they all went in different and they all came out different. And that's why it's a true story, is that it doesn't have your perfect arcs, your character arcs. The one girl who came in who was sort of mentally struggling and looking to find herself, it ended up worse for her because she wasn't as productive and she just ended up having to find a place to live and stuff. And one of them, it actually helped her pay for a university that she wanted to go to. Some had some debt they could pay off. They did look at it as a new lease in life. And, you know, as in real life, because it's a true story, we see them all leaving in a different headspace. And again, I'm careful not to give anything away, but they really had a great camaraderie themselves, and that's where the beauty of the film lies, and this great relationship, and the actresses, they're all young up and coming actresses. They're so good in the film and so real. I'm very proud of the job they did and telling the story.
The clip looked great. I watched the trailer for it, and it certainly makes me want to see all of it. There's no question about that. Did the Canadian government come away with anything from this? They were able to announce to the public and say, look, you know, don't do this. Look what happens.
Well, that's the interesting story. They couldn't really, because it was partly a social study where they were just looking, you know, they had people observing them 24/7, which is another creepy part of the film. How natural is that when people are staring at you the whole time? And they made constantly obsessive notes about them. So the social part of it was really hard to gauge. It's how realistic it was. Also, like I say, they got tokens for their belts, and they had to pay to have a shower and all that stuff. So that was this really bizarre little anthropological part. But the interesting thing is they did all kinds of data. Physiological, they had their blood work done almost every day. They ended up with track marks over their arms from it. They had blood pressure. They had doctors. They were prodded.
Right.
And there was incredible data that they collected physiologically and sociologically. But then all of a sudden, they decided that, wait a minute, I don't know if this is going in our direction, even with what we've done. It actually remains a mystery, because they decided to stop funding it. And, you know, there's different theories to why. If you see the film, you know, it's certainly from the girl's lens, and you really get to see. And there is a human side to the social scientist, Barry. There's a human side to the nurse, Alice. There's a human side. So that's what's interesting, too. It doesn't just make that these are the bad guys and these are the good guys.
Yeah.
It's really an interesting way that it all fabrics together. It was just a really, there was just so much material to work with when putting this together.
God, it sounds great. Project Marijuana, it is called. Hopefully you'll be able to see it streaming somewhere soon. And Craig, thank you very much for joining us. That's Craig Price, the writer and director of the movie. Later in the show, we'll be looking at where Amazon pay their tax. But first, a quick break.
Moncrief on News Talk.